This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is iFanboy Special Edition Solo, a Star Wars story. Fanboy Special Edition Solo, a Star Wars story. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Never tell me the odds.
And we've called in our old buddy Ron Richards, former co-host.
I would not miss a Star Wars movie, that's for sure.
And as always, we'd like to give you the disclaimer that Ron works at Marvel Entertainment, a subsidiary of Disney. That's probably not right. He's going to correct me, but Disney also owns Star Wars, but his opinions are his own.
Yes, I have no influence or insight into Lucasfilm or any of their productions or anything. I am speaking as a fan here, so there you go.
Can you tell us what's happening with Indiana Jones?
No.
Okay, Shia LaBeouf going to be involved?
I really hope
so. We are here talking about Solo, a Star Wars story. This is the second A Star Wars Story movie after Rogue One. And the first Star Wars movie that's come out. Is it the first one that's come out not in December? Since Disney bought?
Yes. This is the first non-December since the Disney movies.
That was weird, I got to say.
Out this December?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing till December 2019 is episode 9.
Spend time with your family.
Oh, good. Take a break.
What a relief.
So we last all talked about Star Wars for The Last Jedi. We famously had problems with it.
Six months ago, not long ago.
So back when Disney originally bought Lucasfilm, when they were talking about the plans for Star Wars, and they announced they were going to do Rogue One, which was a sort of a prequel to A New Hope, even though there was already three of those. And they also announced Solo, and they also announced Boba Fett, which got re-announced this week. But they announced Solo, they were going to do a young Han Solo film. And I remember personally not being excited.
Would you guys just audibly groaning?
Well, I mean, we've made jokes about this on our various podcasts that none of us were super excited for this.
Yeah.
Some of us were downright dreading it.
Who was dreading it, Josh?
I don't know that I was dreading it, but I was aggressively uninterested in
it. You almost returned your ticket this week.
I almost did return my ticket. I thought I wasn't going to make the show, and then I thought, you know what? Then I don't have to go to this.
Right. There's no point.
Because
it's
a major risk.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're messing with comic book terms. It's Wolverine origin. It's
Yes. We're going to get to that later on, but that is the parallel I've been making a lot. But going into this. I think I winced when they announced it, and then unlike episode 7 and 8, I did not keep a strict media blackout around this. I watched the trailer. Right. It was hard. it was absolutely impossible to avoid the media coverage of it because it seems as if the production was such a shit show with Lord and Miller being fired and Ron Howard being brought in and Michael K. Miller being cut out of it and Paul Bettany coming on and just like all the chaos that went into this. So somewhere around, I want to say, right before that first trailer came out, I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this. Not because I think it's going to be good, but oh, is it going to be a shit show? You know.
First of all, Michael K. Williams, who was in The Wire, was originally in the movie.
Not really.
Yeah,
he was originally the Paul Bettany role.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the crime lord. And he was going to be an alien of some sort. I believe.
But then
he
couldn't come back for the reshoot, so they had to recast. But
yeah, and it's just funny because Paul Bettany exists in one room the entire movie. And it's like, oh, those were reshoots. Okay, got it. They built one set. All right.
I didn't know that. Although, cool. I like both those actors an awful lot, but I gotta say, Michael K. Williams would have been.
Well, get to that in a second.
We'll get that.
I wasn't strict blackout. Like for The Last Jedi, I hadn't seen anything. This one, I didn't search out the trailer. Like when they released it, I didn't watch it on YouTube. But when I went to the movies, I didn't cover my ears and cover my eyes and plug up my ears like I did for The Last Jedi. So I did watch them.
Living with you must be a joy.
Have you met her?
Yeah,
they have. They're a team.
Yeah, she did it too. So yeah, I mean, I the big buzz was about Donald Glover's Lando, and then there was you're right. It was you couldn't avoid the movie because of all of the production problems. Aaron Reich need an acting coach? The directors got fired. Yep. Were there rewrites? I mean, it was almost a certain morbid curiosity more than anything going into the movie.
Agreed. And then part of it coming out of it is that, okay, well, like my thought going into it was there are three things that's going to happen here. One is it's going to be laughably bad and will give us lots of fuel for jokes for years to come, right? Mm-hmm. Or it'll be a little underdog picture and it'll actually be really good because Ron Howard pulled it out or whatever, right? Or what I believe is what happened is that we got a very middle of the road, very safe movie that checked all the boxes that needed to be checked and took little to no risks.
With
a few exceptions to the risks.
I think that I think Ron Howard is really underrated director in general.
Very good. Yeah, he's great.
I thought he did. I think he clearly did a good job coming in, which is not an easy thing to do. A movie he didn't develop, he didn't do the pre-production on. He was just dropped in to save the day. I think he did.
But can you think of a nicer guy to do it? Like, imagine the first day on the set. Like, I gotta imagine he like talked to everyone that works on the film, all the way down to the coffee guy.
Do you think Clint Howard was in his contract?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, if I do this, Clint's coming in.
Yeah,
he's getting dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, everyone in Hollywood knows he does that and loves it, so it doesn't wouldn't have. But then.
Is it weird that I saw Clint Howard and the Star Trek fan in me got excited?
Yes.
Okay.
The other plus I think the movie had going for it was that Lawrence Kasdan co-wrote it, and this is his last Star Wars movie. He's doing. He wrote Empire. He wrote Jedi. He co-wrote the Force Awakens.
I'm getting a real Mike Francesa vibe from Kasdan.
That's a very specific joke for not a lot of people listening.
For about 10 people listening.
But they'll get it. They'll get it.
I thought, you know, I had very complicated feelings coming out of it. I didn't really know how to express them. Like, when I came out of The Last Jedi, I was almost depressed. Whereas when I came out of this one, I was like, I thought it was a fun movie. And if you took the name Star Wars off of it and it was just some random sci-fi movie, it would have been a ton of fun. My problems with it end up becoming like the problems I have with all prequels, where there's too much explaining and there's too much.
We're all going to be on the same page for this, I really think.
But I think overall as a film, I thought it was tremendously fun. And I thought the actors were charming. I love Alden Ehrenreich in general, but I mean, I think he did the best you could possibly do if you're not Harrison Ford. I don't know how to do that.
Let's hold off getting into Alden and the acting, because I have specific thoughts there. I'm with you. I think that this was a fine movie. I think that there were high moments. There, you know, I think it's starting to be a I don't want to say an epidemic, but I feel like coming out of a lot of these movies, like, oh man, that first act was rough, but they pulled it off in the third. You know, like, I thought it was very slow going in the beginning and slog and a bit of a slog, but once it started getting momentum, I thought it was good. Yeah, but
I thought it moved quickly, and I thought at one point I looked down at my watch and I'd been there for 2 hours. And I was like, whoa,
oh, yeah.
It's been 2 hours? Like, I didn't realize. I thought it moved very quick to the climax.
I thought it was just a very, you know, like I said, I thought it was a very, very safe movie that kind of moved things along and. We can go into more in depth, but the explaining things, I think, is the biggest is probably biggest
that's
problem.
That's a rabbit hole. I don't want to go down right in a second, I will say, and I'm waiting for Josh to come with a hammer saying how I hate it. But
yeah, that's what I'm expecting. Josh is going to be the extreme.
I'll say that coming out of the film, I thought it looked and felt like a Star Wars film as opposed to The Last Jedi. I don't want to keep comparing to The Last Jedi, but that was my biggest problem with The Last Jedi. I thought this looked and felt like Star Wars.
Agreed. Josh?
Well, I got there about a half an hour before it started because I had remembered that previously in my little theater in town, there's sometimes lines. And I was like, I don't want to have to sit in some crappy place. So I get there.
And you don't have reserved seats like animals.
Well, I could have gone to that theater, but I chose to go to the one that's 5 minutes from my house instead.
That's fair.
Which usually isn't that crowded. And it's, you know, the facility is just fine. And there was nobody there. And I was like, that's not a good sign. Like, because I've been to all these movies on the Thursday night they open, and usually there's some excitement around it. There was one earlier show that maybe people went to, the 7 o'clock, and I went to the 8 o'clock. But I was, like, shocked that there was – I think by the end there were 5 people in the theater total.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, it's not doing terribly well at the box office.
No, it's not. Yeah.
And you know, like Avengers in my town, lots of showings that night, Thursday, like every one of them super packed. So it's not like it's just I live far away from everything, like, because they showed up for Avengers a week and a half ago or whenever that was. And so I'm in no way looking forward to this. As I'm leaving the house, I told my wife, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to see this. This doesn't need to exist. I don't know. Literally, I thought, you know, that thing they did with Grand Moff Tarkin, they should do that with Harrison Ford because nobody should be doing this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
and
the,
then, like 20 minutes in, I was just like, I'm kind of enjoying this.
Oh, wow. All right.
And then about an hour and a half in, I'm going, I'm really enjoying this. And then at the end, I thought, God, I really liked that a lot. And I was very surprised.
Wow.
Now, there were things that I didn't like.
Yes.
But they didn't really preclude me from liking things as a whole. And I say this more, like, I don't nitpick in the way that I would, maybe even about some comics, or like, I don't like, it just has to feel right. And yep. I think Connor said it right at the end. I was like, it really felt like a Star Wars movie. And you'd mentioned the fact that you felt like it moved really fast. And I thought that's exactly what's happening. Just like the original Star Wars specifically.
Right.
77.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of explaining. They were just moving. Go here. Yes. Do this. Do that. Why are they in it? Doesn't matter why they're in this place. Move on to the next thing. Go do the thing.
Yep.
Heist. Heist. Other heist. Fight. Fight. Movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very correct.
I think that.
In retrospect, though, I mean, like I said at the beginning, you got Ron Howard and you got Lawrence Kasdan. I'm not surprised that I think about it. It's just.
Sure.
I do shudder to think what the film would have been, and I like Lord of the Filler.
I think it would have been a huge mistake.
Well, it's funny because somebody today asked me. They said someone who's a real film nerd said, "Can you tell the Lord and Miller scenes from the Howard scenes?" And there was like maybe. There was maybe once during the train heist where I'm like, all right, this feels like Lord Miller. But that
three
was
three jokes.
That was it. That was it.
There were three specific jokes, and I only remember one of them off the top of my head. I might get another one. But one of them is they're shooting. They were flying through the Kessel Run, and Woody, like his gun broke. And he goes, my thumbs. And I was like, that's not Ron Howard. And there was a couple more just like that. And I was like, and those stuck out badly.
But I've
like
heard that most of their stuff was thrown away, so
good. I think it's like 70% Ron Howard is what I heard.
Yeah,
it's tough.
I had just been set up to expect disaster, and maybe that helps a lot.
Yeah,
because what I heard was Alden Ehrenreich sucks, and I was like, well, if everybody's saying that,
I have a specific,
and you know, when you switch a director like that in the middle, that's never a good sign on a prestige pick.
Right. Yeah. Well, so talking about the movie itself, my thought was that it Connor, echoing your point, is that it felt like a Star Wars film, that if this was Heist and this was Joe Flyboy and his buddy, his Wookiee buddy, and they had to do all the stuff like that, I think I would be way more excited. But it boils down to, okay, so there are two discussions I want to have with you guys. One is the origin of it all, and the other is Alden. Which direction do you want to go in?
The origin of what all?
Let's get the actor thing out of the way first. Okay, let's get the actor. I find that less interesting.
So my issue with Alden, Aaron, I can't pronounce his last name. What is it, Connor?
Aaron Reich.
I like him as an actor. I think he is good.
I have no idea what he's been in.
We went to
Hail Caesar, man.
Hail Caesar is great.
He should have won 15 Oscars for Hail Caesar.
He was the kid.
Yeah, he was the kid.
Yeah, he was the cowboy.
We went to see it at the Alamo in Brooklyn, and we got there half an hour before the film, unlike Josh, to get a seat. We already had a seat, but the Alamo shows a half an hour of content before the movie, and part of it was that they were showing, like, they were giving a very quick summary of Han Solo through the other movies, like greatest moments, whatever, and we're watching it. And I turned to her and I said, I was like, you know, I know Harrison Ford is playing Han Solo, and I know that Harrison Ford also played Indiana Jones and played Dr. Richard Kimball, and you know, and all, you know, all the other great roles that he did, The Witness and whatnot, Mosquito Coast. But when I turn on Star Wars and I see Han Solo, I don't think Harrison Ford. That's Han Solo.
Yeah.
Right. And so filling those shoes are immensely hard, and it's immensely challenging. And I like Alden Ehrenreich as an actor. But he didn't sell Han Solo to me.
Oh, he didn't have. No one has the thing Harrison Ford has.
Here's the problem though, is that, you know, whatever what his accent was or whatever affectations he was doing or whatnot, I didn't get a real Han Solo vibe. Now, if he's just in the movie and it's just him and Chewbacca, maybe he gets away with it. But then they go and cast Donald Glover, who sold Lando. I forgot that was Donald Glover, and that was Lando Calrissian for me. He made that work, and it made Alden's role as Han Solo that much less in my eyes. Because right next to him, you have somebody who's doing it.
Yeah, Ron, I'm gonna have to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I really didn't like Donald Glover.
Wow.
Interesting.
I thought he overdid it.
I thought he was great.
I thought he was playing it the same way that he did in the SNL sketches. I just like, and I guess if you watch Billy Dee Williams, it's probably what he was doing there too, but it didn't feel like acting. It felt like sketch comedy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to blow both your minds and say the biggest problem I had was Chewbacca.
Oh, jeez. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me started. Chewbacca fingers.
Because, if you guys recall, I think we had the same discussion for The Force Awakens. He just doesn't move like Chewbacca moves. Yeah, and the problem is, the way Chewbacca moves is imprinted on my head. And don't say he's younger, because he's a Wookiee. He's only a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew moved him in a very stiff way, where this guy was very loose-limbed.
Because he can barely move.
Yeah, but I noticed that too, but I thought, you know, maybe it's good to see Chewbacca move around a little bit, because we've heard all. This is like the Star Wars. This is like the lightsaber fights in the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're not very good in retrospect. And I love Peter Mayhew, but I like he clearly couldn't move for a lot of this.
Yeah.
So to get an actor in there who's supposed to be a physical presence, who can move around and do stuff, I feel like we got in the same way that people like we finally got a lightsaber battle we liked. Then I thought, well, this is actually the promise of Chewbacca.
Yeah, I'm with Josh on this. We got to see Chewbacca kick ass, although I hate that the why change the bandolier? Just give him the bandolier.
Because he's allowed to have multiple bandoliers over the course of his life.
You're talking about a guy who wore the same pair of shorts for 15 years. So give him
15, try 20. I will say that. So when they're on Kessel and Chewie frees the other Wookiees, and then there's that one Wookiee who was played by Anthony Daniels. I don't know what they were going on with that makeup, but that looked more like Chaka from Land of the Lost than a Wookiee.
Those were weird looking Wookiees.
Those were weird looking Wookiees.
I don't know if they were trying to say that there's different like Wookiees with different kind of
species,
facial structures or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I was really surprised. I did like that moment though when they're on their heist and Chewie has to make the choice between saving the Wookiees who are enslaved and going on the heist. I liked that moment a lot.
And I liked the choices that the characters made in that instance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Han was like, you need to go do that thing. And I liked all of the things that, you know, I didn't want this.
Yeah.
But I liked the things where you got to see their friendship form and their relationship. you got to trust me, buddy.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And that builds everything that fits in really well with everything that happens. That's not an explanation of, well, here's why this is like this.
No, it's showing, not telling.
Right.
Yeah, and I really dug that part. So when Chewbacca sits in the seat next to Han Solo,
that was one of the few times the audience clapped.
Yeah, I got a feeling.
Yeah,
I went, oh, like I got a when he sat in the seat of it, you know, I got a feeling. But so, you know, that was nice because that's the best part, by the way. The best part is the relationship between the characters, and they sold that, and that's why it worked.
Agreed. But now, so that goes into the other topic, which is the origin of it all, which is, so I didn't know what the movie was about, and I was verbally on record, I think on my Android show, I said this a lot, but I was like, I'm going to go see Solo, I'm mildly excited for it, but goddamn it, they better not do the Kessel Run.
You said that to us.
I was like, better not be the Kessel Run. And unfortunately, my biggest complaint about this movie is that it falls down the rabbit hole, which we've talked about a lot, which is, for whatever reason, our middle-aged men born in the 70s, grown up on this stuff, and the incessant need to explain everything. And to what I was talking about it over dinner tonight, I hate the backwards echoes. I hate them. The fact that I'm reading so many blog posts that are like, oh my God, Lando says I hate you, and Han says I know. Whoa, he said I know. It's like, come on. Like,
I'm gonna half agree with you. Because There were every single time that there was a direct quote or a direct reference to a thing that was said in a later movie, I cringed every time. Yeah. I hated it. It's cheap. It's fan servicey. It takes me out of it instantly. It doesn't make me feel like we're part of it. I just told you what brought me into it. Oh, this relationship.
Well,
that's solid.
I will agree with you. The only time I thought it worked was the I have a good feeling about this because it showed the difference between him as a young kid versus later on when he's
that's fine,
when he's,
yeah.
when he's
it, that's
jaded.
Fine but
every
the
other
Kessel
time
run,
every other time every other time
but showing the Kessel Run doesn't bother me in the least.
Well, see, no, it bothered me because
it bothered me so much.
It seemed like such a cooler thing in my head, and when it was just this mythical thing he did, as opposed to now, it's kind of like, oh, he just
it's pretty cool.
He just flew through.
It's because I thought it made it pretty cool.
Well, it's funny because when I walked out of Last Jedi, if you guys remember, my main takeaway from Last Jedi was maybe these movies aren't for me anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt that way in this movie as well too, because you know I have a 15-year-old niece who loves all this stuff, and I'm taking her to see it on Sunday, and I'm sure she's going to love it. And she didn't have the 15 years of imagining what the Kessel Run was that we had and filling all the blanks and knowing that Han was in the Imperial Navy and he got drummed out of the Navy because he freed Chewbacca. Like all
40 years, Ron. 40
yeah,
years.
Yeah, all this knowledge that we have and the whole thing. My wish was if they just took this, they took Han and Chewie and had them, fine, have them meet. Have the Falcon come on board. Have the Lando whatever, but have it be a different heist. Have it not go anywhere near that and tell something new instead of explaining that thing that was a throwaway line in the earlier movie. I just think would make for a stronger movie and be less filling in the blanks. It's Wolverine's origin all over again. It's like, you know, Wolverine lost a bit of magic right after Origin came out, and that's why, is because you took away that mystery, and part of that is the fun of that, and I wish they hadn't gone, because the thing was is that there's no way they could meet my expectations of what the Kessel Run was or would be. You know, and to be honest, the Kessel – now here's the argument. I'm going to argue with myself here. But the Kessel Run for me represented how great of a pilot Han was. And this execution was not anything about his flying. It wasn't at all.
It wasn't about how fast the ship was.
They had a droid with the best navigation computer, and they pointed the ship in the right direction and put nitro in the engine, and then he blew through the hole. That wasn't but what redeems it is that when they land on the whatever the refinery planet, and he's bragging about doing the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, and Chewie says something, he goes, "Well, if you round down or if you round up, right?" Yeah. And so then I'm like, "Oh, he exaggerates. He's
a liar."
Yeah, exactly. So that redeemed it a little, but yeah.
The other thing about it is it's not about being a great pilot. That's what he says. What it is that he's overconfident and he takes chances, and that works.
But I disagree, because the line in the original film is about how fast the ship is, not how great of a pilot he is. So
but that's coming from him. He's an unreliable narrator.
No, yeah. I'm backing you up. I'm saying it's not about how good a pilot he was. It was about how fast the ship was. But my thing was that, and my fear My fear, and this is not to do with the movie, and I've been told not to make this a criticism against the movie, but I'm doing it anyway.
And look at you go.
I love it.
Is that, you know, they've said they want to do this as a trilogy. My fear is this is going to be a Rogue One situation where we end up going right up until the Mos Eisley scene.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That is going to happen. And we're going to watch the next one's going to be the Jabba, or one of them's going to be Jabba, and I don't
want
that.
That was the observation coming out of the end of it, was that Carrie said I don't really like that it has him going right to Tatooine.
There's so much more to do in the universe rather than just filling in all the blanks that, and as you said, Josh, at the beginning, one of the great things with the movie is it doesn't overly explain things. It just takes you places and does things. And to me, this is overly explaining in retrospect, where the great thing about the original Star Wars was we didn't know what the Kessel Run was. We didn't know what a parsec was. We didn't know any of these things. And now it's
explained.
It's nerds pushing up their glasses and telling us
means. They have to think of something new.
Now, that said, I will give him credit that when he sits down to play cards with Lando and he calls him Han and he goes Han and he goes right Han, that made me laugh. Like that is explaining something that happened in the original trilogy that is kind of funny. But I will say I was surprised, and my other backup for why these movies might not be for us anymore is how many references to the cartoons are in this. Like the other ship, the VCX-100 is the ship from Rebels. Right? They're starting to acknowledge the stuff that...
Well, I don't know any of that stuff, so right, to me exactly. It's irrelevant.
But to Rebels fans, that's crazy. You know, like they're like, oh my God.
Get to the moment where I nearly got up and walked out?
I think it's the same moment that I probably would have said the same, because there was one moment where I was like, well, fuck this movie.
Was it when Daenerys was in a room with the droid and the other guy and does something and explains it?
No.
Because that's when I almost screamed. And I told I told Gordon there's one specific line that our friend Gordon that is speaking directly to him. So when they're on Kessel and Daenerys goes into the room with the guy with the keys and the L7 droid, and then she takes out that guy, and the droid goes, oh, what was that? And she says, Teraskazi.
I didn't mind that.
I threw my hands up. I was like, oh, come on.
I was like, you know what? That was for me. And I'm all
right. Chewbacca.
The greatest Star Wars video game ever that everyone hated.
Yep.
Because we couldn't fucking learn how to play it.
Which we played the hell out of in 98. Masters of Terrascazi.
No. I'm surprised we even have to discuss this. It's when fucking Darth Maul shows up.
I know.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, that was dumb. That's no, but not nope, not that. That's not my thing. That's dumb.
He got cut in half.
No, here's why. No, okay. So here's the thing. When that happened, I leaned forward and I think I gasped for air and I turned to look to Carrie and she looked at me like I was crazy. And then when they showed him stand up and it showed the robot legs, and then I remembered that Darth Maul is alive and running around in those cartoons and Rebels and in other stuff. And I went,
I don't know that stuff.
No, I know you don't, but there's a generation that does. My nephew
does.
Right,
but here's the thing. 98% of the people who go to see this movie do not know that stuff.
Nope. I don't think that's...
Nope. I don't think that's accurate at all.
I think that's 100% accurate. When you take in the global audience...
Nope. You are underestimating the reach of those cartoons, man.
I am not, because I know the people who work at Disney XD, and I know the ratings it gets.
It doesn't matter about the ratings.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you, I go over to my brother-in-law's house, and my nephew is sitting in front of Netflix watching it on repeat. There's a generation
of people who watches it.
There's a generation of people who have watched Rebels and watched Clone Wars and all that stuff. It's not us, and they love it. And that's who these movies are for now. And this ties into that. And that's going to make their heads explode.
I can tell you, you're both wrong about the worst thing in the movie. And I'll tell you what it is. You know when Don Corleone gets to Ellis Island and he goes to get a name and they get it wrong and they say you're Don Corleone. Han what? I don't know. Who are your people? I'm alone. And I went, my brain screamed, don't do this.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And they fucking did it. They Don Corleone'd him. And I was like, and somebody thought that was clever.
Yeah. Yep.
Somebody was like, this will be just like The Godfather. And it was not just like The Godfather, because it was dumb and it gave a literal meaning to his name.
The coolest aspect of it is his name. Yeah, I agree.
That's terrible.
So going back to Darth Maul.
He's a Skywalker because he walked on the sky.
Going back to Darth Maul. I'm not surprised they did it because of the cartoon connection, but also because aside from Paul Bettany, this movie really lacked any sort of villain. Right,
Paul. Yeah, it was a heist movie.
Yeah, it was a heist movie, but Paul Bettany never left his room. He was never really that, you know, like I never felt that threatened by him or whatever. And then as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is teeing up the Obi-Wan movie or the next Han Solo movie or whatever. They need to create a villain to fill in the gap between the prequels and Star Wars.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but Han basically funded the rebellion.
Yeah, you're correct.
I hated that as well.
Yeah.
I always liked that he was just a separate guy off in the world, and he wasn't involved with the rebellion, and he got pulled into it. Now it's like
but he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know it, but everything is tied together.
I know. I'm going to disagree with that to a certain extent, because the thing is, there's a bit where they explained it. It's a little bit on the nose, but where the Mother of Dragons says, "I could not figure out that was her for the longest because the dark hair threw me off." I was like, "I know her voice. Why do I know her voice?" Anyway, she says, like, "I know the secret that nobody knows about you is that you're good." And I was like, I really like that. I thought that is a really good line. Good. And if you then play that out to its conclusion that he keeps doing the right thing, even though he's trying to act a different way, then that all plays. And if that's coming from Lawrence Kasdan, where he's like, "Yeah, I should be helpful, but he's going to play cool." That works for me. Lawrence Kasdan's the guy who wrote I Know. So, fine. Like, that, you're telling me what this character is. And I was like, that, again, that tracks. That works for me. Yeah. So the fact that he would have given up because he was like, that's the right thing to do. The fact that he helped Chewie out of there, not just because he was trying to get it for himself. Because if he was just trying to do it for himself, then nothing that he does afterwards makes sense.
Right. Yeah. For sure. No. That's Han's always been the rogue with the heart of gold who will shoot someone.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he.
Oh, that was good too. That was a reference. That was awesome.
The shoot first, when he shot. Yeah.
I think I yelped. I went, yeah.
So let's, before we get fricasseed online for saying we hate the movie, let's talk about the things that we liked about it, because we've been.
Yeah, we're not. By the way, I want to be very clear. I did not hate this movie. I did not hate it. I liked it more than I hated it. So.
The cast was all fun. I thought the action was interesting. The heists were fun. The train heist was particularly exciting.
I'll be honest. I thought I was going to hate Woody Harrelson's Macklemore haircut more than I did, but Woody Harrelson was great, I thought.
Yeah, this was really the first time in a Star Wars movie that I wasn't annoyed at famous people.
Yep.
If that makes sense. You know, like normally on Star Wars in the past that has taken me out of it, but this, it was just everybody. And it's like, oh, they're actors. They're doing a thing. And it worked for the most part. I think also design-wise, I think Rogue One was pretty good, but like I really enjoyed this design-wise and sort of all the different types of ships and the different types of worlds. And this was the thing that we were promised. This is the thing that we complained about, I think, with The Last Jedi, is that they keep telling us they're going to take us to new worlds, but you know, each planet wasn't that different than any of the other planets. Like whatever the dust planet was pretty much Hoth and Tatooine that we'd already seen. And this one, I was like, oh, we're in different places now.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing, because I remember being annoyed at Rogue One having to like hit you over the head to tell you what planet you were on for everyone.
Yeah, right? Like, this isn't Tatooine. Like, yes, it is.
But then with this one, I was like, well, what is this mud planet? Where are they? Is that is that Dantooine? I would like to know where this place is.
That's
like,
better than. That's much more like Star Wars.
Yeah.
I liked that whole sequence, like the Empire having like soldiers like in the war. Yeah, it wasn't all stormtroopers. It was just like dudes in gray uniforms in the mud. I liked that a lot. I also liked that the stormtroopers were covered in mud, so they looked brown. But
I want to know why they bothered with train tracks. Don't they have floating fucking everything?
So let's talk about Chewbacca's eating people, I guess.
What?
Like the illusion that when they threw Han into the Rancor pit, but it's Chewbacca, and they're like, he hasn't eaten in a couple of days either. Like,
I think they were just being shitty.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I don't know. But did that whole scene work for you? The fact that they, you know, that they're Han and Chewie, you know, kind of coming together. How did you feel about Han speaking Wookiee? Because
that was a little dumb. But that was a little dumb.
Bad choice.
Yeah, but I didn't care.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where, like, if you'd asked me, should they do it? When I was watching it, should they do it? But at the end of it, it didn't make me not like them meeting each other more. I like the setup of it, that, like, they kept him down there for sport. And, you know, he had to, I don't think he was eating anybody, but he, you know, killed people or whatever. And that's fine. Yep. Rip somebody's arms off.
I mean, that didn't bother me. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I always liked that Han just kind of knew what he was saying. Yeah, so I guess the implication would be he knows Wookiee, but
right.
Everyone knows what droids are saying. And I don't know. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, because the my only problem with it was is that aside from it sounding ridiculous, then he never did it again.
I think he had to do it in that point to show him.
Yeah,
because if he
but
just
also weren't they hiding? They're hiding what they were saying too, weren't they?
True. Yeah.
So he had to do it to show him as a sign of trust that he could kind of make an effort to say it, but then later like they didn't have to because they could understand each other if they spoke it.
Yeah.
It was dumb, but also kind of. That might have been Lord Miller.
Maybe. I would have liked.
I just don't think Ron Howard's that funny.
Yeah. I did like the heist aspect of it. One thing I didn't like about Han on the mud planet being a little too whiny, beggy to get in with Woody Harrelson and his group. I would have liked a little more. Like cleverness, you know, for instead of
well,
just
he was
like
a kid. That's
yeah, I know,
I
yeah, but I'm balancing it with that, right? But once they like the train heist, that whole sequence I thought was great, was a blast. Yeah. I thought that was
I liked the alien, the Jon Favreau alien.
Yep.
I think the fact that it was in this instance, the fact that it was Jon Favreau made me like him more, so that when he dies, you felt worse because we didn't really have a lot of time with him. But I was like, oh, Jon Favreau's dead.
But I like that they killed half the crew too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like. Wasn't well, expected because
she broke John Carter's heart, so fuck her.
Sandy Newton was on the posters, so you're not expecting her to die so quickly.
Yeah,
so that
was
a nice surprise. I thought I liked Woody. Woody's always really good.
He's great. I thought,
And they had a fun rapport. He was sort of like to me the guy in the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, who was basically Indiana's role model.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of to me his role.
It's funny that you said that because when towards the end of the movie, when Paul Bettany and Han and Daenerys are fighting in Paul Bettany's room, the thought did cross my mind. I'm like, oh, don't explain the scar.
Yeah, which they didn't.
Which I'm glad. But like, that was the moment. Like, I expected that to happen. Like, he was gonna get cut with that red blade, and I was gonna be like, oh, they did it again.
And they also didn't. They kept threatening to show Paul Bettany be a different thing.
Yes,
and he never did.
Never did. Nope.
Which I thought was good. And then you know what? This is important to like. There's a bit where Woody Harrelson. I have no idea what his character's name is. He's Woody Harrelson.
Tobias Beckett.
Whatever.
Which Tobias. Sounds like somebody out of Quantum Leap.
He did. he says, don't trust anybody. And right away, anybody who is able to pay attention to films go, oh, that guy's going to fuck you over.
Yep.
But you're also thinking, well she's going to fuck him over. And so there really was a very foreboding sense from that point on who is going to screw Han over because something has to happen to make him mistrust everybody at the end of this.
Yep.
And right. That was a really strong suspense device that really
but also just a reason to strengthen his bond with Chewie because he's the only one that doesn't
matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So that works for that. But also just from a storytelling standpoint, for the rest of the movie, I was, you know, on tiptoes to be like waiting for a shoe to drop. And they didn't do it in such a way like the Woody Harrelson, the way that happened. Like I saw that coming, but not until just a little before. And then I didn't know what was going to happen with Daenerys. Stormborn.
Kira.
I'm telling you, Kira. I'm loving you.
He just wanted to love her.
I will give anyone who gets that reference, I will personally send you something. If you tweet me and you tell me what that's from. Because you won't.
I'm not.
do I count?
I'm not eligible because I know.
It's interesting how small the movie is. And I don't know if that's a consequence of them having to quickly basically redo the movie, but it's a pretty small film. It's a small cast. There's only about five or six main actors in it. And then, you know, they do a couple of things. And it was nice. That was one of the things that you miss about Star Wars. You know, the first Star Wars was basically six people. You know,
and, I mean, that was the thing that I didn't like about The Last Jedi.
Right.
Where I was like, calm down, everyone.
Yeah.
Let's just pull this back a little bit.
This was focused. This was fun. It's fun. It's hard to pick a word. Everyone asks me, what do you think? I say it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
So
can I take it or leave it? Sure. If you said, We are now erasing all copies of this movie from the planet. No one will ever see it again. I'd say, okay. It's fine.
Yeah, like the thing was is that like this doesn't.
Why watch it again? Sure.
It's fun. Does its existence change my life? No. Does it take away from anything before? No. You know, like it was just fun. It was fun. That's why I say it's as middle of the road and down the middle and safe as possible. Like it told a fun story and it hit all the
Ron
beats.
Ron Howard.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know, which is fine. So, when the movie started and we got the. It was funny because my thought was
the fake role.
Before that, we get the Lucasfilm logo and the whole theater is quiet. And I just remembered a time when just seeing remember when we saw the Lucasfilm logo before a trailer in '97 and the whole theater erupted in applause?
Well, that's part of the criticism that Megan had, and I don't want to speak for her, but she did tell me this, is that she wasn't excited at all to see the movie. I basically had to not twist her arm, but I'll buy you dinner. And she ended up really enjoying it, but she said part of the reason why she wasn't excited for it is because Star Wars is becoming less special now.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
It's not an event. It's becoming routine. And it's not routine in the way that Marvel is, but it's like the bigger it gets, the less special each part of it becomes. And that's why she wasn't interested in seeing it. That's kind of how I have – that's kind of the angst I was feeling after Last Jedi and before this movie was like,
I keep thinking about that with you, Connor, because when we did this for The Last Jedi, you were like, maybe I'm done with Star Wars. Yeah. And you're in a different place right now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that was mostly talking about the chapter.
I know, but it gave you something you liked.
Well, it did make me really want to go home and watch Star Wars.
Which I think is the best reaction you can have. Yeah.
It felt, I mean, look, he's not. Alden Ehrenreich's not Harrison Ford, and he's never going to have that glint in his eye and the gruff exterior. And I never felt like Alden Ehrenreich's Han Solo could beat me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't have that physical presence that Harrison Ford has, but he has that. He had a charm and he had a thing that worked for him.
But also, I think it kind of works that if you think, well, geez, was Han Solo kind of bluffing this whole time? Did he make us believe it? And did he have that much time to get there? And I think that.
It's a little bit about that's what the next movie. That's what Solo 2. That's
yeah,
what
Solo 2. I kind of dig that.
Yeah,
always Jabba-ing.
Because the fact every day I'm Jabba-ing.
Another Jabba. Another day, another Jabba.
No, I think that there's a thing where
Jabba, another
Jabba
day.
And shove it.
When you're a kid, you look at all the adults and you think these people know what they're doing, and then when you're an adult, you realize every single person is faking it.
Yeah. Well, think about it. In the first film, he runs out of 50 stormtroopers.
Yeah,
and at the time we knew that was too stupid. You know, he wasn't always. He just had that swagger of a rogue about him. He wasn't always successful at what he tried to do.
Well, so did this one though. With I can.
I just mean the physical presence is different.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean that.
So anyway, so Lucasfilm logo didn't get any reaction. Then we get A Long Time Ago, Galaxy Far, Far Away, and then we get more words. And I will say that when I saw them explaining hyperfuel in the words, I cringed a little. I was like, ugh. And then I thought about it more and I was like, I bet Ron Howard's like, great. And then we'll do the crawl. And Lucasfilm was like, no, actually you can't do the crawl. That's only for the episodes. And like, well, what if we showed words in the Long Time Ago font? Never done that before. And they're like, we could do that, right? Like, I know the meeting that happened in.
Well, after the first one, I was like, okay. And then there was three. I was like, well, why isn't this just a fucking crawl now? Because there's three screens here. Yeah.
All right, so
you're reading a short story before this movie.
So other quick hits to thumbs up or thumbs down. Bosk mention.
You're okay with that or not okay with that?
I'm A-okay with that. It's Bosk. I would have preferred Dengar, but, come on.
Well, I mean, that's a roll of the dice.
Woody Harrelson's guard disguise. That didn't bother you at all? No.
I guess they just keep that on the ship in case they ever need it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any of what.
I liked Lando leaving them.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was funny.
I liked it
well.
All the capes. That's Lord and Miller.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Or that's my cape. It's handmade or whatever. It's custom made. That was totally Lord.
Oh, Woody Harrelson getting credit for killing Aurora Singh.
Aura Singh.
Right.
I didn't pick that up. Picked it.
I'm neither here nor there.
Yep.
Like all they're tying it in. That's the job. Whatever.
I have blocked all that from my mind. I didn't even pick that up.
Yeah.
Well, she's another character who was supposed to be a big deal and not. And
Right. She was a huge red herring when it came to episode one.
So what the whole movie was.
Yeah, sure. The whole movie was a whole red herring.
The three prequels were massive red herrings.
So, I mean,
I will say that the audience I saw it in really loved the equal rights droid.
Oh, yeah, that was great. And her voice is not anyone you know.
No, I kept thinking it was, but it was not.
You ever seen Fleabag?
No.
Probably not. It's a British series on Amazon. It's really good. And when I looked up, I was like, oh, that's her. I really like that show. You should look it up.
Yeah. All right, I'll check it out.
But they killed her, too. I thought they did a really good job of raising the stakes constantly. You know, they.
Yeah, I liked her.
Who kept dying.
I liked her whole scene and the sort of chaos that came around that. And then, like, there was a little, like Lando loves me. And you're like, that's silly. And then, like, when she goes down, like, he's hurt by it. And I was that's really.
They sold that really well. And also the droid uprising, I really did enjoy. I thought that when she did the first restraining bolt and said, go be free, go free the others, and they start doing it, and it just causes that chaos. I thought that was actually pretty good.
They start smashing everything. Yeah. Smash.
Gonk. Smash. Gonk.
It's all of our fears about technology writ large on the screen.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. I had
a lot of fun. I left, and I was like, I'm very happy right now. Yeah. You know?
Which is and I think it possibly had to do with expectations.
Oh, sure. But that's the thing for me. I've learned that, like, the more these get built up all the time, A, not only are they not special and unique anymore, but everyone has to be the greatest thing ever or not. And it's like, who cares? You know, like, just are you having fun? Did you enjoy it? I don't need to think it's my favorite movie all the time. I don't need to think if I want to buy it or whatever. Like, I had fun in the theater and it didn't let me down. Maybe.
Here's a
question
for you guys. Here's a little thought experiment. Let's say they gave Harrison Ford $1 billion to have starred in this movie and they used the anti-aging technology on him. Would have been a better movie.
Would have been worse.
Tough question. Well, here, let me counter that question. Who do you think should have been cast?
And also, he doesn't run.
Yeah, no, he has to run. Right. Alden Ehrenreich had to run weirdly and he didn't. Why does Harrison Ford run so weird? It's so bizarre.
Because he can.
Contractor act.
So, like, because the question that got posed.
I don't know. They saw like 2,000 people. I don't know who they should have picked. He was fine.
That's me too. I'm not a cast. This is why I'm not a casting agent. So.
He's as good as you're gonna possibly get with someone not doing a Harrison Ford impression, which you didn't want to see anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, they did a good job on his hair.
Yeah.
Like I was like, that looks like an earlier version of Han Solo's hair. That works for me. I don't know. I thought he did, like, it was a Connor. Like, he did as well as anybody was going to do in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most you can ask for. I wasn't annoyed.
Favorite character in the movie? Ron was Lando.
I thought Lando was, he was great. I'll give him and the droid.
What did you think of Lando, Connor?
I liked Lando. I didn't like him or dislike him. I thought he was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Lando in general, though. Somehow I'm happy he got screen time.
I do too.
He hasn't shown up in the new ones. I'm still annoyed about that. But I like that there's a morally ambiguous hero, even more so than Han.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I think that's a good point. Is that if Han really is a hero, even though he's trying not to act like it, then Lando has to be at a different part in that spectrum.
Also, it makes sense. He's, you know, it tracks through Empire.
Yeah.
So if you were watching these in some sort of order, it would make sense later on. And also, he's redeemed even more in Jedi then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. That is true. There was the mining colony, the mining colony quote, and also the fact that on the I saw in some blog post that on the Falcon there's a little model of the city, the Cloud City, like in a glass box that apparently had the idea years before.
Well, that's dumb. But I did like the ship just completely getting destroyed in the first mission, like right away, and the pain in his face as each part would fall off or got shot, or they didn't seem to use the deflector shields very well.
I didn't like them explaining the notch in the front with the escape pod thing.
No, here's the thing about that is that like I knew there was no way to avoid it. They were like that was in the poster and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a, can't remember if the toy came out or if it was a toy design that I read in some book.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think it was a design.
It was a toy design it never made.
Yeah, it was, and it was supposed to be a freight loader. And it was a thing that went in. And so, to me, okay, cool. That was planned 40 years ago. It works. Like, it's.
I just, there's always, you're veering on the edge of being too clever.
Yeah.
I think sometimes. In the same vein,
I liked, I didn't think I would, but I liked the idea that Han's dad built those ships on the line.
Yeah. I by the way, when they showed Corellia in the beginning, I got excited. I didn't realize Corellia looks like Oakland, but okay. right, but that's Star Wars lore with the cranes in Oakland that were the inspiration for the AT-ATs. I would have liked. You see, it was funny because we were breaking down the movie at dinner tonight. We were saying, because I was complaining about it being the Kessel Run and the Wolverine origin of it all, and I was saying, you know, like if this movie was just here's Han Solo and his buddy Chewbacca and here's a heist movie, and for some reason they go back to Corellia and that triggers flashback memories or something like that to explain where Han came from, I would have been okay with that as an approach too. Like, I like that we got to see a little bit of Corellia, but you know, like I would like to have seen more Corellia, but of him younger, I guess. So,
but they're gonna do, if they're gonna do this, they're gonna do an origin story. That's just how it is. Yeah. And the fact is, like, the most important thing to show for me is, you know, how him and Chewie hooked up and what their relationship means, and then the same thing with Lando to a lesser extent. And just set everything up to make sense later without necessarily doing a point-by-point line. Now, they're going to do that line.
Right.
But they didn't yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not holding it, you know, accountable for what they haven't done yet.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So ratings.
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 Out of 5.
I'm going to go 3.5.
That lets me say 4.
Wow.
3.5 as well.
All right, yeah. Sticking with it.
We'll see if they do.
Star Wars as a property, are you going to stick with it?
I won't quit Star Wars.
We talked about I talked on the last show. JJ is coming back for the next one. I'm hoping he writes the ship for the chapters, and we'll see what happens. Right. They just announced Boba Fett.
By Mangold, which is pretty good. Like, well, we're going to get a Boba Fett Western. So now here's the question. Speculation, though. Back to casting.
Yuan.
Back to casting. Do they get that Australian guy who played Django, or do they recast Boba Fett?
I hated all that, so I hope they do. But they're gonna do it.
And do they?
Or they'll get somebody similar.
Now, does the Boba Fett movie take place before Star Wars, or does it start with him crawling out of the Sarlacc pit?
I would love if it was the second one.
Yes, me too.
Also, it could just take place, like, when he's flying from one Death Star to another.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be what they want to do. Just stick it in all the holes. Let's rank him. Rankings.
Oh, rankings. Rankings.
Rankings.
Wow.
Oh. Rankings.
This is getting into copyright territory. I don't know if we can do that.
Rankings.
I think we've got carte blanche. Like, we've already kissed the ring once. I'm not going to do it again.
No, I know. I just it's there's too many to rank now.
Rank them. Listen,
you first, Josh.
You listen, you're not in the mood, you get in the mood, rank them.
I'll do it just because that made me happy. Four, five, six, Han, 7, Rogue One, Last Jedi.
Wow, you're putting Solo above The Force Awakens.
I liked it more.
Interesting.
In retrospect, I liked it more.
Interesting.
Okay. And then prequels.
Okay. What's your prequel order? It's 3-2-1. 3-1-2, right?
Phantom Menace is best, but that's relative.
Oh, wow. So you're 1-3-2?
1-3-2.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no. Attack of the Clones is the worst.
Well, what you have to understand is that we saw that movie 10 times that summer.
Yeah. I know.
No, so I love it. It's terrible, but I love it.
Yeah.
The experience of that summer was terrific.
Like, I could sit here and watch it right now. I know every beat of it, and it's funnier than ever.
Yeah, it's true. It's fair.
It's really boring, but...
A New Hope, Empire, Jedi, Force Awakens, Solo, Long Land Bridge to The Last Jedi, Long Land Bridge to Rogue One. And then the bridge ends up in the end of the world in the smoke where the dragons live. There's nothing beyond that.
So you liked Last Jedi more than Rogue One?
Rogue One, yes. Hmm. I have no use for Rogue One. I think Last Jedi has good parts to it.
I like that review. I have no use for this film.
Oh, man, I'm wrestling with this now. All right, well, 4, 5, 6, hands down. Force Awakens. Earlier today, I said I liked Rogue One better than Solo, but now after this conversation, I think I like Solo. I'm reversing that. So 4, 5, 6, Force Awakens. Wow, I'm going to say Solo, Last Jedi, Rogue One, because Last Jedi has grown on me since I've seen it, as I've thought about it more. And I do like Rogue One, but every time I think about the first two-thirds of it and Saw Gerrera and that big blob thing and stuff like that, it can't make up for the third act. But
it's just a bad film.
Yeah. And then 3, 3, 3, 1, 2. So.
Wait, what?
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 Okay. What? Deck officer.
Deck officer?
What are you whatting at, Josh?
The Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. Then Phantom Menace, then Attack of the Clones. Attack of the Clones is the worst pile of garbage there's ever been.
No, totally. But no love. I'm sorry for saying that, but you don't have. I just thought the Phantom Menace would sit higher with you.
No, I like Revenge of the Sith much more. Okay. Ewan McGregor, you were the chosen one. All the beard, another fine landing. It's all great.
I've only seen it once.
Yeah, it's good. You should watch it again. You should watch it.
I'm not gonna. Nope, not gonna do that.
All right. Oh man, what a 4 week period this has been.
I saw a bunch of trailers for stuff. I'm like, well, I really want to see that.
Like what?
I saw the Ant-Man trailer, which I've seen, but I was like, that looks super fun. That's gonna be great. I saw the girl and the boy in the ship with the hurricane, and I was like, oh, that's my jam.
Oh right, yes, that one. Yeah. I've seen that one.
I forget what else.
I got to tell you, I saw that the second Christopher Robin trailer. Speaking of Ewan McGregor, and that thing is just emotional manipulation at its best.
Oh, I saw the Queen trailer, and I know that should be a train wreck too. But I just went in to see a movie about a guy where the directors got kicked off and a new one came on, and that worked out okay.
There you go. Yeah.
So I thought maybe it'll happen again, and say what you will, those are some fine wigs.
that Brian May wig is top notch.
Brian May wig should already get an Oscar.
All right. We're super digressing. Maybe we wrap it up.
All right. So if you want to go to iFanboy.com to talk about Solo, Star Wars Story, you can do that. There'll be a post for that show, as well as all our other podcasts, our weekly Pick of the Week show, where we talk about the comics that come out. Our last couple of special editions, we talked about Deadpool 2. We talked about Avengers Infinity War. And this'll be it for us until Ant-Man and the Wasp in July. So until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
You're going to die here, you know.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.